Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, they took him up to the temple to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord," and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen the salvation which you prepared in the sight of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, since you were only here yesterday or the day before, tonight's homily will be short. Give you a break. There's a fad the last decade or so that I really never had too much interest in. Some of my friends seem to have a fascination with it, but I did not. And that's, you know, sending your DNA away to be tested to find out who your ancestors were through Ancestry.com or this, what is it called, Me123. And, you know, and people got all kinds of results, which I always found them to be a bit dubious. Friends of mine in Baldwinville sent his away and found out that he was from Eastern Europe. What a surprise, because his parents are Polish and German. You know, what a surprise. But then he found out he was 2% Jewish. You know, what does that mean? But anyway, so, you know, there seems to be a fascination with kind of people finding out where they're coming from. And where we come from is very important because we are born at a particular time, in a particular place, in a certain place in time. And so was Jesus. Jesus was born in a very particular time in the Roman Empire, and that was called the Pax Romana. And it was a very different time for the people in Israel because at that time they were at absolute peace. And if you know anything about the history of the Middle East, you know there's been very little peace in that part of the country. So this was very, very rare that Jesus was born during this time of absolute peace. We're told that his family was from Nazareth. Nazareth was really a nothing town. When we visited there 4 years ago, I learned that Nazareth probably had no more than 400 people that lived in the village at the time of Jesus. That means everybody knew everybody, and they were probably interrelated, you know, kind of like Fulton. But everybody is related to everybody. So, you know, he was born in a particular time at a particular place for a specific reason. And when we know where our roots are from, then we have a better understanding of who we are. You know, I didn't have to really do Ancestry.com because I had a cousin who did a very thorough investigation of the history of our family, at least my mom's side of the family. And I have a thick book, and I'm not exaggerating, it's at least this thick, with the history of our family. And kind of knowing where you come from helps to form you. It gives you an idea of who you are. It also gives you an idea of what the people who preceded you were like in your family. And you know, at least for most of us, our families came here as immigrants, and they built a life here far beyond the imagining that they would have had in their old countries. And when they built their families here, their families grew and prospered. And I think that all of us, in one way or another, kind of stand on the shoulders of giants. All of us do. Because we have, for our ancestry, a strong foundation. And obviously, for us, a strong foundation in faith that was very, very important to them and has remained important to us. And we stand on that foundation of our ancestors. And what a wonderful tradition that is for us. But that's not the only tradition that we have, because we are also, as we celebrate this feast of the Holy Family, we have to remember that we're part of another family too, and that is the family of the church. And certainly we stand on the shoulders of giants who built the church into what it is today, to be a community of faith and charity. There is no greater charitable organization in the world than the Catholic Church. And we stand on the shoulders of giants who built the church and who made it strong. If we want our family to continue, we've got to remain strong. We have to be the shoulders that they will stand on to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to future ages. So thank God for the family that we are, and let us pray for the future family that we will be.